O Holy Spirit of God, help us to become masters of ourselves that we may be the servants of others. Take our ears and hear through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. This is one of the four feast days that our church sets aside for us for baptism. Easter is one at the Easter Vigil. Pentecost is another. All Saints Sunday. And today, which is the feast of the baptism of our Lord. And this feast day always comes on the first Sunday after the Epiphany. And then, of course, this year we also, Epiphany was on a Sunday, so we've had lots of feast Sundays. Now, if you read Paul's letters in the New Testament and you read the Acts of the Apostles, you notice that in the early church there was a rich variety of images and symbols around baptism. And here are just some of them. In our baptism, we are reborn. We die and rise with Christ. So death and resurrection as a part of baptism. In baptism, we are all anointed for ministry. An anointing was done for kings and noblemen, but we are anointed in that tradition with a sign of the cross on our foreheads, and that is our anointing into our ministry. In baptism, we become a royal priesthood. In baptism, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And here's an interesting one. In baptism, we put on Christ as a garment. Almost this image of putting on Christ as you would put on a suit coat or a vestment or something. That you put on Christ and you become a new person in that baptism. And in baptism, we are adopted as God's children. And each of the four feast days that are set apart for baptism emphasizes one of those images, one or two sometimes, of those major images of baptism. So, of course, for the Easter Vigil, where we celebrate Christ's resurrection, it reminds us of the rebirth and renewal of baptism, of the dying and rising with Christ. Pentecost, when we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit to the church, reminds us of the gift of the Holy Spirit in baptism. All Saints, when we remember all the faithful who have gone before us, reminds us that we are all called to ministry through our baptism, and that we are all part of the communion of saints and the body of Christ. And finally, this day, the baptism of our Lord, reminds us that in baptism, all of us are adopted by God as God's beloved children. We just heard Luke's version of Jesus' baptism. Jesus was baptized by John in the River Jordan, an extraordinary thing in itself. And as he was praying, God gave him a great blessing. Before he was driven out into the desert to be tempted, before he began his public ministry by reading from Isaiah, the scroll in the synagogue, before Jesus suffered and died for love of us, God gave Jesus the thing that he needed most, God's blessing. You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. We all need to know in our very bones that we are beloved by God. Many of you probably know or have read some of Henri Nouwen, who wrote many books on the spiritual life. He was a Catholic priest and writer on the spiritual life. And he wrote one book towards the end of his life as a response to a friend who asked him to write something about the spiritual life that would make sense to any person, someone without any faith tradition or someone who was in a faith tradition. Basically, something about the spiritual life that would make sense in modern times to modern people. And so Nouwen prayed and thought for a whole year about what he wanted to write, how this book would go. And he finally chose the word beloved. His book is entitled Life of the Beloved. It seems that so many things often get in the way of our claiming our belovedness or living out that belovedness. Talking with many people over the years and talking with spiritual directors, and it seems that many people who seek spiritual direction have trouble feeling that they are really loved by God. Some people who do very well in life might feel that they're loved for what they do, not necessarily who they are. And people who might not do so well by society's measurements, who don't succeed, may feel that they never quite measure up, no matter what they do. Even fortunate among us who grew up in loving families often can struggle with feeling not good enough. And it seems to be human nature. I don't know if it's true with you. If you receive 10 compliments and one negative criticism, how that one negative criticism can somehow overshadow the 10 compliments. Not for everybody. I had somebody at 8 o'clock tell me that for him, one compliment overshadowed 10 negatives. I said, great! That's wonderful. I wish I could be like that. Hopefully, everyone has times when we really feel loved, when we really feel special just for being alive. You might think of some of those times in your life. I know when I was growing up, my birthday was always one of those times. I would always felt special on my birthday. I always dressed up and I got to do special things, and my mother would cook dinner, whatever I wanted to have for dinner, and the family was all there, and special family friends would celebrate. So that was a time that was distinct from other days, when I always felt beloved on my birthday. Not for anything I did, but just for being, just for having been born. The church gives us rituals that remind us of our belovedness. Baptism, confirmation. And later this year or early next year, we have some new youth rites of passage, such as the Rite 13 ceremony, that celebrate our belovedness by God. And of course, every Sunday when we come here, we have the Eucharist, Christ's body and blood, that remind us how beloved we are to God. So in these sacraments and rituals, we can celebrate our belovedness. Every time we witness a baptism, as we will, and participate in a baptism in a few minutes, we can remember God's words, "You are beloved." as Jesus was revealed as the Son of God in his baptism. So all of us are adopted as daughters and sons of God in our baptisms. In a few minutes, we will celebrate the baptism of Casey Louise Kolka. She will be named by her parents and sponsors, baptized by water and the Spirit, and marked with the sign of the cross on her forehead as Christ's own forever. Baptism also gives our community the chance to say to Casey and her family, "You are beloved." We say this in part by promising in the liturgy to do everything in our power to help Casey grow up in the Christian way of life. That is not a small promise, and we make it every time we have a baptism. We are pledging ourselves as a community to a long-term commitment. St. Catherine's is already a wonderful, loving community. But we can do even more. And we might think on a baptism day, how can we become even more a community that reminds Casey and all children of their belovedness? And how can we continue to reflect God's blessings to each other, so that all of us may experience belovedness? Henry Nouwen, in his book, writes of a transformation which is available to us all by God's grace. We can change, he says, from living life as a painful test to prove that you deserve to be loved, to living it as an unceasing yes to the truth of that belovedness. Put simply, life is a God-given opportunity to become who we are, to affirm our own true spiritual nature, claim our truth, but most of all, to say yes to the one who calls us the beloved. You all know people who live life this way. This congregation is full of them. They are the first ones to praise, the first to greet a lonely person, the first to support us in trouble. They are the first to forgive and the last to condemn. Because they know that they are loved, they are able to reflect God's love back to everyone they meet. Can we all live our lives as an unceasing yes to the truth of our belovedness? We can, with God's help. Amen.
Amen.